earlier in the service, we sang the song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I love that song. I've loved it since the time I was a kid. But I got to confess to you that I used to get in trouble when we sang that song at my home church. The preacher's son, Andy White, and I were best friends. And we would sit on the back row of the church, and every time we'd sing that song, we just put our arms around each other, and we'd be leaning on the everlasting arms. We could be going back and forth, almost like that Aggies do during that, you know, something they do. And so we were leaning on each other's arms, going back and forth. I still find myself kind of leaning when I sing that song. But you know, for the longest time, I really thought that song was about leaning on each other. And it's good to lean on each other. But it starts out by saying, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. But it was only later that I came to understand that that song is not about leaning on each other. It is about leaning on the everlasting arms of God. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 27, it says, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. You know what? You shouldn't lean on my arms. They're not very strong. But we should lean on the everlasting arms of our mighty God. And did you notice the last verse of that song we just sang? Maybe you weren't paying attention. It said, what do I have to dread? What have I to fear? I have blessedness with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. This is a song about having fellowship with God. Now, we talked about horizontal fellowship. We'll talk about that a little bit. But mainly the focus of our message today is this vertical fellowship that you and I can have with our Creator. And so the title of the message is Fellowship with God. Let's read beginning here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It's only three verses, but you're welcome to stand as we read this section of the Holy Word of God. This is the message we have heard from Him, Him being Jesus, and declare to you, God is light. And there's absolutely no darkness in Him. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And here's the great promise. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all our sin. Let's pray for a moment. Father, we are honored and blessed to be able to be here today. We don't take this for granted. We thank You for allowing us to open Your Word. And we are aware that we are just not just talking about words on a page, but we're talking about living truth that transforms. And so, Father, take these words, plant them deeply in our heart, and may there be multiplied fruit of obedience and blessing, because Your people heard and obeyed. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Did you hear about the Dude Ranch out in West Texas, and they were advertising that they had horses for all kinds of people? They said, for old people, we have old horses. For young people, we have young horses. For fast people, we have fast horses. For slow people, we have slow horses. And for people who've never ridden a horse, we have horses that have never been ridden. I say that because here we are so familiar with the Word of God, but the Apostle John was writing to people they had never read the Bible. We can all say this isn't our first rodeo when it comes to the Word of God. But so many of the readers of what John was writing did not have a Bible. I mean, you need to go back and put yourselves in their sandals for a moment. Now, a few of these early Christians had a Jewish background, so they knew a little bit of the Old Testament. But most of them in these churches in what is now Turkey, Asia Minor, they had a Gentile background. They had no knowledge whatsoever of the Old Testament. They'd probably never even heard of Moses or Abraham. And so here they were trying to decide, what do we believe? How are we to behave? And so John writes this first epistle, like Christianity 101, Christianity defined. These are the basics of the Christian life. Fellowship with God, fellowship with each other. What do you do when you sin as a Christian? These are just basic things that we all need to be reminded about. And so as you read these words, think about these new Christians. They're eating this up because they didn't have any other scripture to read. So in this passage of scripture, we're going to learn three things about God. And these three things that we learn about who God is help us to understand what it is to have fellowship with God. First of all, God is light. And that is the basis of our fellowship. God is light. And as it says there in verse 5 again, this is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. So, you know, if you believe in God, that's great. But what kind of God do you believe in? And the Bible gives us many statements about God, and this is just one. God is light. Now, that doesn't mean God has a light or God is a light. It means God is light. And the reason the Bible compares God to light, because light is so mysterious. It's everywhere so often, and we have a hard time understanding. There's something mysterious about light, and there's always something mysterious about God. Let's dig a little deeper and talk about two ways in which God is light. First of all, physically, light refers to God's glory. So when you hear the word light, God is light, that speaks of his glory, because the word glory literally means shining, brightness. So let's go back to the beginning of the beginning there, when there was nothing but darkness and chaos, and God, who is light, stepped into that darkness and that chaos, and he said, "Light be." And there was light. And many times in the Bible, when God would reveal himself, he revealed himself as light. You know, he came to Moses in a burning bush. And then on Mount Sinai, the Bible says that God came down to Moses and there was lightning flashes, and then that entire top of the mountain was engulfed in flame. By the way, for those of you who enjoy archaeology, they really believe they found the actual site of Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia. And one thing they notice about this new mountain they think is Mount Sinai, it is burned on top. It is totally singed on the top of it, like some huge hot fire burned it centuries and centuries ago. And then when they built a tabernacle and they offered the sacrifice, the Bible said that the Shekinah glory of God came down in fire and smoke and burned up the offering. And for 40 years, the children of Israel had a fiery pillar that led them through the night. So God's character and his nature is associated with light. And you know, when Albert Einstein was looking for something that he could say, all right, this is solid, this is reliable, to form his theory of relativity, everything else relative to it, he decided to use the speed of light. And that's part of his E equals MC squared. And we know now that light travels at 186,246 miles per second. To show you how fast that is, if I could shoot a pistol and it would follow the curvature of the earth, go at the speed of light, it would pierce my body six times in 1 second. That's pretty fast. And Albert Einstein, even when he was asked to give a definition of light, he really couldn't do it because he said, we only know light by what it reveals, not really what light is. And there's only a certain wavelength of light that we can see. And there's more about light we don't know, he wrote, than we do know. And so that's something about the nature of God. It will always be majestic, unexplainable. In fact, if you look in 1 Timothy 6:15, it says, God will bring this about in his own time. He is the blessed and our only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Listen to this. Who alone is immortal and who lives in, look at this, unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. God dwells in unapproachable light. It'd be like you trying to fly into the sun. You just can't do that. And in all of his majesty and glory, we can't approach God. And so that's why God said, you know what? I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ, who's going to put on human flesh. And through him, people may approach me. Because Jesus, he never said, I'm unapproachable. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So that speaks of his glory. At the birth of Jesus there, when the angels appeared out in the fields with the shepherds, the Bible says the glory of the Lord did what? Shone round about them. This is all talking about the glory of God, which is brilliance, radiation, brightness. But there's another way that God is represented by light, because morally, light refers to God's goodness. Throughout the Bible, darkness is evil, light is goodness. In fact, Jesus calls the devil the prince of darkness. And when Jesus was describing hell, he said hell is a place of outer darkness and weeping. And the Bible says, Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So let's talk about light and darkness for a moment. I mentioned the birth of Jesus. There was something else that happened at the birth of Jesus. I spoke about this a few weeks ago when we talked about the Magi who followed the star. You see, this was some kind of supernatural light. It was not a comet. It was not the confluence of planets. It was a supernatural light because the Bible says the light moved over the house where Jesus was. So at the birth of Jesus, there was the presence of God represented by light. Now, fast forward 33 years to Jesus hanging on a cross, and in the moment in which he became sin and experienced alienation from God who is light, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God literally had to turn away. God is light, and light turned away. And so what happened? The Bible says there was darkness on the land for 3 hours. This was not a storm. This was not an eclipse. This was a supernatural darkness. Because you see, when God looked at the sin of the world placed upon his son, he couldn't bear to look at it. Why? If you look there, what the Bible says in Habakkuk 1:13, talking about God, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. So God is light. And the whole idea is if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we can have fellowship with God and we can have fellowship with each other. Well, let's look at our second declaration about God, who God is. Number two, also God is holy. That is a statement about God throughout the Bible. God is holy. And this speaks of the breaking of our fellowship. In verse 5, there is absolutely no darkness in him, meaning evil or wickedness. If we say, listen to the pretense, the talk, oh, we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness. John's pretty blunt here. We are lying, and we're not practicing the truth. You know what he's saying here? Your talk's got to match your walk. If you talk and say, oh yeah, I'm walking in the light, but there's sin in your life, he says, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. Now, people want to know, and I've been asked many times as a pastor through the years, Pastor, I know I'm a Christian, but I want to know, why do I still sin? And why do I have these sinful thoughts? Does it mean I'm not saved? Do I need to be saved again? Why am I still sinning? And that is a question a lot of people are asking these days. And the answer is found here in 1 John, especially next week when we talk about what to do with our sin. But to understand it, I want us to think about two very important words when it comes to your salvation. And if you can hang on to the meaning of these two words, I think it'll be clearer for you. First of all is the word relationship and then the word fellowship, okay? Relationship with God and fellowship with God are not the same thing, all right? Let me try to explain that. First of all, let's talk about relationship. Relationship is when you enter God's family. You are born again, and that relationship with God is totally unbreakable. Once you become a child of God, you can never become anything other than a child of God. He's your father, you're his child. Now, we all have some friends, some Catholic friends, Assembly of God friends, some Methodist friends, who believe that you can lose your salvation. We don't believe that. I don't believe that. And sometimes people say, well, you Baptists believe once saved, always saved. I never use that terminology because it's not used in the Bible. I believe in the eternal security of the believer. Or if you want to pin me down, I believe once a child of God, always a child of God. You see, I mean, we can even make a biological comparison. I'm the son of Bess and Orlo Dykes, and I could change my name. I could deny that they're my parents. I could never have anything to do with them. But you know what? That doesn't change the biological fact that they're my dad and mom, and I'm their child. That's something you cannot change. So when it comes to spiritually speaking, once you become a child of God, that relationship is unbreakable. In fact, this is what Jesus said in John 10. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Once a child, always a child. Now, I've had people say to me through the years, well, if I believe like you Baptists did, once saved, always saved, I'd just go out and sin all I wanted to, knowing I'd still be saved. Well, brother, if that is your attitude about wanting to go out and sin all you want to, you've never been born again in the first place. Because a born-again Christian doesn't want to go out and sin all the time. Yes, Christians do sin, but it breaks our heart. It grieves the Spirit in us. So if you got that down, relationship, secure, established. But now let's talk about fellowship, because that's what this passage is all about. Fellowship is enjoying God's favor, and that can be breakable. It can be disrupted. So let me use again another biological example. I was and always will be the son of Orlo and Bess Dykes, although they're in heaven. But I want you to know that there were many, many times growing up that while the relationship was secure, the fellowship got a little muddied up, if you know what I mean. I did some bad things as a teenager I'm not proud of, and I'm not going to tell you all of them, air my dirty laundry, but I'll give you one example. I was a teenager, and about four or five of us went out in the woods to hunt squirrels or anything else that moved. And we're sitting around a campfire at night. And in South Alabama, in the late 60s, you didn't have any drugs. But one guy pulled out a bottle of some clear liquid that I found out later was moonshine. And he took a swallow of it and passed it around. And I never tasted moonshine before, never tasted alcohol before. And I turned it up and took a big swig of it, and it was like swallowing liquid fire. I mean, my eyes were burning, and I was just about choking, but just to be cool and with the crowd, I pulled it down. I said, man, that's good. Well, we finished off the bottle, and every one of us got deathly sick. I mean, so sick that we had to just drag ourselves home in the early hours of the morning. And my dad knew all about it. Somehow he knew everything that had happened. And I can remember when my dad came into me, he said, son, I just want you to know you embarrassed your mother. You embarrassed me. I'm not proud of the way you acted. Now, this is my dad that I love that, you know, we went fishing together. He coached my little league teams. He was my bud. But you know what happened? That's when I made some stupid mistakes like that, the fellowship was broken and disrupted. And so I remember at that time I had a 1962 Plymouth Valiant, black. I named it Prince Valiant. Had the push button transmission on the side. Remember those, Ronnie? My dad said, no, car for you for a month. I was punished because my dad loved me. And eventually we got back together and everything was okay. But for a while, that fellowship was disrupted. Now, folks, I want you to know that's what happens in our walk with God. That relationship can be secure. But when we make dumb choices when it comes to sin, the fellowship with God can be disrupted. Of course, a great Bible example that we'll refer to next Sunday was David, King David, a man after God's own heart who did some stupid things. And in Psalm chapter 32, he talks about how miserable he was when he was hiding his sin. You can read his words there in Psalm 32:3. This is after he'd been forgiven, and he's looking back and talking about how miserable he was when the fellowship was disrupted. When I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day. For day and night, your hand, God, was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer's heat, Selah. Means pause and consider. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not conceal my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. David said, I was absolutely miserable during that time, God, when I was out of fellowship with you. Now, don't raise your hand. We're not taking testimonies right now. But can any of you think of a time in your life when you were living in sin, away from the Lord? You were still a Christian, but that was probably the most miserable spiritual time of your life. It was because the relationship was there, but the fellowship was broken. And you know what? That is when Satan attacks us the most. That's when he accuses you and abuses you when you're out of fellowship with God. In fact, I heard a story about a little boy and a little girl that went to visit their grandparents out on the farm, and the granddad had made a slingshot for the little boy, Billy, and Billy was shooting at the barn. He missed the barn, and shooting at a tree, he missed the tree. He shot at Grandma's prized goose and hit it right in the center of the head and knocked it dead. He said, uh-oh, so he took the goose and hid it in the woods. But his older sister, Kathy, had seen him do it. And he said, please, please, please don't tell Grandmother what I did. She said, well, maybe I will or maybe I won't. We'll see. So that night at dinner, Grandfather said to the little kid, he said, son, don't you want to go fishing with me in the morning? He said, yeah. And his sister jumped in and said, I don't think he wants to go fishing. I think you'd rather take me fishing, wouldn't you, Granddad? The little boy said. The next day, the granddad said, hey, Billy, let's go ride the pickup truck into town tomorrow just to see what's there and get some farm supplies. And Billy said, yeah. And older sister jumped in and said, no, I don't think Billy wants to do that. I think he'd rather me go with you, Grandfather. Wouldn't you, Billy? And that went on and on and on until Billy got more and more miserable. Finally, he went to his grandmother and said, oh, Grandmother, I'm so sorry. I shot your goose with my slingshot, and my big sister saw it, and she's just making me miserable. And the grandmother said, sweetheart, I was watching out the kitchen window when you killed the goose, so I saw it when it happened. And I just want you to know I forgave you when it happened. And so the little boy said, well, why didn't you tell me sooner? And the grandmother said, I just wanted to see how long you were going to let your sister make a fool of you. And that's exactly what the devil does when we're out of fellowship with God. He accuses, he abuses, and he wants to keep us out of fellowship with God. Relationship secure. Fellowship can be broken. So our key is to stay in fellowship with God, which leads to the third attribute of God. God is forgiving. And this is the blessing of our fellowship. And if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, this fellowship that can be broken with God, praise God, can be restored. And that ought to be the goal of every Christian. You know, once you become a child of God, if you fall out of God's favor because you get out of fellowship with him because of disobedience and sin in your life, your desire should be to get back into fellowship with him. because God wants the fellowship to be restored. And there are two benefits that we find in this passage when that fellowship is restored. Number one, you are walking with the other believers. You see, it says this, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship with one another. Let me tell you what I think that means. I think that that means that when you are in right fellowship with God, you will be in right fellowship with God's people. But you know what? I think the inverse of that is also true, that if you are out of fellowship with any child of God, you can't be in correct fellowship with God. But when you are in fellowship with God, you're going to love the brothers and sisters, even the ones that are a little bit obnoxious. You're going to walk with them in the light because they're in the light and you're walking in the light of the righteousness of Jesus. And you know, as we walk with other believers, we don't have to pick out our own path. God is guiding us with his word. Look at Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path. I've always loved that verse because as I understand, as we're walking with the Lord and as we're walking with each other, God is not shining a spotlight 2 miles down the road. Don't you wish you knew what was going to be happening in June, August, September, December of 2021? Don't you wish you could know that? But God says, no, I just want you to trust me as far as this lamp and this light shines on your path. Trust me for today, and then trust me for tomorrow. Trust me as you walk with me daily and walk with the brothers and sisters. But the other benefit, besides being walking with other believers, is washed in the blood. And this is a powerful promise there. It says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us of all our sin. Now, when we talk about the blood of Jesus, and there are 600 references to the blood in the Bible, we're not talking about the blood that flowed through the veins of Jesus as a living man. That blood doesn't save me. You know why? It only condemns me because Jesus was a perfect man. It's only when that blood was shed on the cross for me that becomes the source of the forgiveness of my guilt. And there is a scarlet thread of blood redemption that flows all the way through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And as it says in the book of Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. 1 Peter 1:18. For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb. Of course, that's going back to the time of the Passover, when the blood of that Passover lamb was smeared over the doorpost, and when God's judgment passed over Egypt, when they saw the blood, it passed over, and judgment to that home and that family was spared. And today, when God looks at your heart, and he sees that the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, has been applied to the doorposts of your heart, when judgment comes against sin in this world, you will not face judgment. I mentioned that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, at the beginning of the message. It was written by Elisha Hoffman right after the Civil War. He really was only known for one other song that you might recognize also. It's a song that contains almost nothing but questions. You'll recognize it. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Are you washed? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? So, relationship. Let me ask you, how's your relationship with God today? Do you know the Lord? Have you been born again? Oh, your relationship is stable, secure. Now let me ask you about your fellowship. How's your fellowship with God right now? I mean, are you walking with him and talking with him and you, that fellowship is so sweet. You have a sense of His presence with you all the time. It's easy for you to talk to Him. It's easy for you to hear from Him. How's your fellowship today? But you know, God is light, not just so He can shine in this world, but He wants us to shine in this world. God is light, and then Jesus came along and said, I am the light of the world. But then He said, you are the light of the world. Well, which one is it? Yes. You see, it's like Jesus is the sun that radiates light, but the moon is just a cold, dead rock and circling the earth, but the moon reflects the brightness of the sun to the extent that sometimes during a full moon, you can see your shadow on the ground. We're like the moon. We reflect the brightness that is Jesus Christ. And that's what He sent us in this world to do, to let our light shine. And so as often I do, I have what I call a takeaway truth. Here's your assignment. After you've heard this truth, you say, so what? What should I be doing? Well, here's your takeaway truth. First of all, you must see His light, but then you must be His light. We must be the light of the world to those who are living in darkness today. And according to Philippians 2:14, listen to this. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God who are faultless in a, and listen to how it describes our culture, a crooked and perverted generation among whom you shine like stars in the world by holding firm to the word of life. So how do we let our light shine? We don't have to worry about that, because Jesus told us in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see. Anybody want to fill in that next word? Your good works. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and then give you all the credit. Wait a minute, I don't think it says that right. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, as we go out into this world and perform acts of kindness, we better make sure that Green Acres is not getting the credit and that you're not getting the credit. But we need to make very sure that the Lord God, the Father in heaven who sent Jesus, is the one who's getting all the glory and all the honor. I said last week, you know, one of the greatest thoughts in the entire universe is that God exists. And then right behind that is that He exists so that you and I can have fellowship with our Creator. That is a life-changing truth. Let's pray. Father, thank You for making it possible for us to do with You today what You did with Adam and Eve in the garden before sin came in. You just walked with them and talked with them in the cool of the evening. Lord, thank You that You have restored paradise by sending Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that we will all feel the challenge from Your Spirit to shine forth in this dark and perverted world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.